Thanks a lot. I'm so glad to be here. This is amazing. I've never been to this meeting before, and it's really remarkable. A little disclaimer: I'm not a researcher or an academic. I'm a nurse, so this is going to be a little bit different kind of presentation. It's not very data-y. Okay, now the arrow is not. Let's try that one. Okay, I have no disclosures. So a little bit of background about the Family Planning Association of Maine. We were established in 1971 as an independent nonprofit organization in the context of a pretty dismal record in teen pregnancy in our state. And so we really focus on teen pregnancy prevention, on developing curricula for our school systems, and on advocacy to the legislature in our state. We're the statewide grantee for all Title X National Family Planning Funds for the state of Maine, and as of 1983, we had all those under our umbrella. So we worked with delegate agencies, CAP agencies, to provide family planning services at our local family planning centers. In the past year, we have absorbed 18 of those centers, so the northern two-thirds of the state, the family planning centers are now under our operation, and that's been quite a transition for us. So the first direct service we provided at the Family Planning Association was abortion care, and we started in 1997. The context for this was the violence against abortion providers in the early 90s resulted in most providers in the central part of Maine just dropping out and not providing services anymore. So between Bangor and Portland, there were, by 1995, there were no abortion services in our state. So the Family Planning Association, located in Augusta, stepped up to the plate and decided we needed to provide this service directly. I don't know why that cursor's there. There we go. From the outset, we've had a dual mission. Because it's an access-driven practice. So from the very beginning, we have had education and training of doctors and students as the second part of our mission. So in addition to providing quality abortion care for women, this is part of our DNA. From the outset, we partnered with the Maine Dartmouth Family Medicine Residency, and we train their residents. They have about a dozen residents a year. And then in the year 2000, we started partnering with University of New England College of Medicine. This is Maine's only medical school, and we have their students come through our program. And then starting in about 2007, we partnered with the Central Maine Medical Center Family Medicine Residency. So two of the four family medicine residencies in our state partner with us, and their residents rotate through our service. In the 16 years that we've been operating, we've had more than 400 residents and students come through our program, which is pretty remarkable because we're really quite small. At the moment, we're providing services one day a week. So we basically have three kinds of rotations, and it's a really individualized program. So there's not one size fits all. We have a whole range of people, obviously, who come through our program. So we really try to find out what they want to learn the day that they're there, or if they're coming for more than one visit. So we have observation only. These are the medical students who come, residents who come two times, and then they can come back for extra another year, are usually more hands-on, doing pelvic exams, ultrasounds, and they may do parts of the procedure as well, depending, again, they work with the preceptor to see what it is that's appropriate that day. And we also have trained to competency. We've probably trained 15, 18 physicians to competency in abortion care in 16 years. It's a little harder to do now because our numbers are lower, but that's been an important part of our program as well. So after we've been doing this for probably 10 years, I would say we kind of trained, you know, first when we first started, we thought that if we trained doctors, then they would all go out to their local practices and everybody would provide abortion in their local community and we wouldn't need these centralized clinics. But that has not come to pass, as we all know. And, you know, that's okay. That's really not what our focus is. The other thing that we really wanted to zone in on was the fact that we always had people coming through our program with myths and misconceptions about abortion, and of course our patients had lots of myths and misconceptions. The curricula, you know, people would come telling us they have maybe 10 minutes devoted to the subject in the course of their medical training, so the curricula was often not really supportive of learning about this part of women's health. The folks who came through are so appreciative of actually having anything on the subject, and to get, you know, to get a direct interaction with a patient and accurate information was really meaningful to them. The other thing we really noticed that is the combination of these things, the combination of myth and misconception, not getting much information about abortion in medical school or in residency, and not very many good resources out there, really did interfere, you know, kind of was a brewed together with the stigma in our culture, really did have direct impacts on patient care. We had reports of patients who were receiving, you know, less than optimal care because of these issues, because the doctors just didn't really know exactly what was involved. So we decided we wanted to try to address this a little more robustly. So we received a 2-year grant from the Bingham program, and the purpose of this grant was to expand our education and outreach. We wanted to really zone in on who it was we should be focusing on, and we wanted to make sure that we were developing some strategies that would be not only effective, but which would be would we could carry forward into the future, not kind of a project that has a 2-year and then it's expired. We really wanted to kind of keep this, build in some infrastructure to keep this going into the future. So the goals that we developed were to give a whole range of medical professionals The first thing we wanted to do was to develop the informational piece so that when we went out, we would have good information for providers, and then really help them with some drill down into some issues around language, around non-judgmental care provision, neutral language with patients, so that they could actually develop some skills and talk to patients in a more comfortable manner. We really present the idea to them that the onus is on us as health professionals to create the atmosphere for women where they feel comfortable asking us about anything. Women go into the doctor's office and they just kind of assume that their doctor doesn't approve of abortion, that nobody knows anything about it, that if they have a positive pregnancy test, they'll get congratulated. So it's really up to the doctors to create a different kind of atmosphere. The groups that we focused on were the residencies and medical schools. We at that point had partnership with one residency, and we wanted to, like I said, just build in some kind of ongoing connections with them. And the other thing we really wanted to do, which we hadn't done before, was to go into OBGYN offices to actually talk to direct care providers, to go to the OBGYN department at the hospital and go to their grand rounds. We wanted to get out to all of our individual family planning centers and visit each one of those for a staff meeting. And then we wanted to also get to the emergency departments because this is an area of kind of particular, they have their own set of issues which are very different from other care providers. And women reporting back to us encountering some care in emergency departments that was not really what we would have wished for them. So that was another one of our goals. So we already had a firm basis in inviting residents and doctors and students into our program, and we wanted to build on that. We, in the first year of our project, we developed a presentation that we called Introduction to Abortion Care. And this was a pretty general presentation with a lot of demographics, a lot of just basic information about abortion. We provide both aspiration abortion and medication abortion, and so we wanted to tell people about both those. And what we really found was if you could meet people to their needs, that was what was really key. So whether we were invited in for a staff meeting that was a lunch and learn, or a 1.5-hour didactic presentation at a residency, or even just the emergency department giving us 20 minutes at their meeting, we could adapt. We could either expand or contract our information to really meet their needs. We also, instead of relying just on PowerPoint, we took the PowerPoint slides and converted them to cardstock. So if we were going out to a staff meeting where they didn't automatically just set up an AV component as part of their staff meeting, that didn't bother us at all. We just took out our cardboard and went from there. And then the other thing we did was created an online, I know that sounds like duh now, but in 2007 that was actually kind of a new thing. And good online resources on this subject were hard to come by. So what did we encounter for challenges? Well, the ones you might expect, bureaucratic barriers. Sometimes it seemed like we would get the runaround a little bit. Oh, I can't help you with that. You'll have to call so-and-so. Oh, I can't do that. You'll have to call so-and-so. There was a little bit of that. There was a little bit of sometimes seeing like feeling like they would really rather not deal with this, but they also understand that it's a part of women's lives, and it's really they're kind of it's part of their professional responsibility to hear the information. There was a little bit of institutional resistance, mostly the comment something like, "Oh, our curricula is just fine, thank you very much." Time constraints, of course, are always big for everybody, both for the organizations we were trying to talk to and for us. And then individual resistance. So when we first went out, we really did encounter people who pushed back at us, and that was really interesting for us. So we developed a way of, kicking off our presentation by trying to find common ground, first off, and acknowledging that there's a range of emotions on this issue, but that we're all professionals, and our duty to our patients is to not be judgmental or biased, but to be factual. So we would put up this common ground proposal, and this was another central message that we always included, because this was one of the biggest myths that we encountered. Women are impulsive, they're not responsible. So just presenting the demographics goes a long way towards that. But also just enlisting their, oh yeah, huh, I guess I wouldn't want, you just kind of enlist them in their professional capacity. So what did we accomplish? In the course of, the other thing I wanted to say was that the second year we developed a more targeted presentation called Caring for the Woman Before and After an Abortion that was really directed at clinicians. So we were able to have two different kinds of presentations to go out and give. That was really very helpful. Again, just really trying to meet people where their needs are. We reached more than 433 people in our presentations. Got a lot of good information out there. We greatly increased participation in the rotations, and I should just mention too that both the residencies that we work with have told us time and again that the fact that they are able to offer this rotation in abortion care is a huge recruitment tool for them. And we have residents come through all the time who say that they chose the residency based on the fact that they could spend time at an abortion clinic. So it's really huge. Our medical school participation went way up. We now have annual presentations at the medical school and didactic sessions at the residency that are built into their curriculum, so that's been great. The feedback has been just fantastic. Well, there was that pushback, and there, you talk to any group and you're not going to get 100% of anybody, but that's okay. Consistently positive feedback, it continues to be very rewarding. And the thing that we hear most often is that, you know, providers tell us it really has made a difference for them to come spend time with us, to hear the information, to hear us just talk about what an abortion is. It has made a big difference in the way that they care for their patients. So if you provide abortions, I ask you to consider going out and involving your community. If you provide care for women, contact your local abortion clinic and ask them to come visit you. It can be a great back and forth. It does have a really, this modeling, this non-judgmental care has a big impact for women. And then creating this forum that really does acknowledge the complexity makes a big difference for care providers. So thank you very much.